A gentleman in black tie stands before a theater curtain, his hands clasped.
How do you do? Mr. Carl Emley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, We've warned you.
He grins and walks off. Words appear. Carl Lemley presents Frankenstein, copyright 1931 by Universal Pictures Corporation. The opening credits appear on a background of a man's head surrounded by a rotating collage of eyes. From the novel by Mrs. Percy B. Shelley, adapted from the play by Peggy Webling. Screenplay by Garrett Fort and Francis Edwards Farrago. Cinematographer Arthur Edson. Directed by James Whale. The players: Henry Frankenstein, played by Colin Clive. Elizabeth, played by Mae Clark. Victor Moritz, played by John Bowles. The monster, played by... Dr. Waldman, played by Edward Van Sloan. Baron Frankenstein, played by Frederick Carr. Fritz, played by Dwight Fry. The Burgomaster, played by Lionel Belmore. Little Maria, played by Marilyn Harris. Alongside a grave.
Donai Domine, et lux perpetua lucia Dei. Amen.
A small group of mourners. A priest carrying a bell on a staff. And a statue of a skeletal, hooded Grim Reaper carrying a sword. From behind an iron picket fence, Fritz, a wide-eyed man, stares.
Down, you fool!
Says a man behind him, Henry. Fritz lowers himself, as does Henry. The priest carries the bell staff on his shoulder and walks away from the grave, as do the mourners. A gravedigger drops his hat on the ground, plunges a shovel into the earth, removes his suit jacket and drops it, takes up the shovel, plants it again, spits and wipes his hands. Now plunges again and sweeps the soil into the grave. Later, he pats down the soil with the heel of the shovel, plants the shovel, picks up his hat, puts a pipe in his mouth, strikes a match on his trousers, lights the pipe, blows out the match, and tosses it. Picks up his jacket, carries it under his arm, lifts the shovel onto his shoulder, and walks off. Now, the two men arise from behind the iron picket fence.
Now, come on.
Henry pushes Fritz, who leans forward.
Hurry, hurry.
They both proceed to the gravesite. They remove their jackets and take to their shovels. Later, standing waist deep in the grave, they continue to shovel.
The moon's rising. We've no time to lose. Oh, careful.
Henry plants his shovel in the pile of dirt. The two of them kneel down, lift the coffin,
here he comes,
and stand it on its end. Fritz climbs out of the grave. Henry pats his hand on the coffin.
He's just resting, waiting for a new life to come.
Henry pushes up from below while Fritz pulls from above. The coffin reaches the ground level. Later, they roll the coffin on a wheelbarrow, Fritz pulling from the front and Henry pushing from behind. They pass between large, rugged, rocky formations.
Here we are.
They stop at a primitive wooden gallows from which a man is hanging. Fritz carries a lantern.
Look, it's still here.
Touching the shoes of the hanged man.
Climb up and cut the rope. No. Go on, it can't hurt you.
Taking the lantern from Fritz.
Here's a knife.
Fritz puts the knife between his teeth. Climbs the post. Straddles the crossbar. Slides toward the rope. Retrieves the knife from his mouth.
Look out!
And severs the rope.
Here's the knife. Here I come. Is it all right? The neck's broken. The brain is useless. We must find another brain.
Later, a sign reads, Goldstadt Medical College. In a medical auditorium, three doctors in white coats stand around a gurney on which lies a covered body. A model skeleton dangles over the table and bounces up and down. Fritz appears at a back window. The doctor stands behind a table holding two glass jars.
And in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen,
pointing to the left jar,
here we have one of the most perfect specimens of the human brain that has ever come to my attention at the university.
And to the
and
right,
here the abnormal brain of the typical criminal. Observe, ladies and gentlemen, the scarcity of convolutions on the frontal lobe as compared to that of the normal brain. And the distinct degeneration of the middle frontal lobe. All of these degenerate characteristics check amazingly with the case history of the dead man before us, whose life was one of brutality, of violence, and murder. Both of these jars will remain here for your further inspection. Thank you, gentlemen. The class is dismissed.
Covering the jars. The students file out, and the gurney with the covered body is wheeled out. As the room empties, Fritz peers in from the window. He pushes up on the window sash. Climbs in. Leaning forward, he walks down the rows of the darkened auditorium. Reaches the table that holds the jars. Backs into the dangling model skeleton. Observes the jar labeled normal brain. Uncovers the jar and grabs it. He drops the jar. He returns to the table where the second jar is labeled abnormal brain, grabs it with both hands, returns up the auditorium steps toward the window. At the Frankenstein residence, a framed portrait of Henry appears in candlelight. A maid opens a door.
Sir Victor Morris.
Who enters the lavishly furnished sitting room.
Victor.
A lady gets up from a sofa.
I'm so glad you've come.
What is it, Elizabeth? Oh, you've heard from Henry.
Yes. The first word in 4 months.
Holding a letter.
It just came. Victor, you must help me.
Of course I'll help you.
I'm afraid. I've read this over and over again, but they're just words that I can't understand. Listen. You must have faith in me, Elizabeth. Wait. My work must come first, even before you. At night, the winds howl in the mountains. There is no one here. Prying eyes can't peer into my secret. What can he mean?
What does he say then?
I am living in an abandoned old watchtower close to the town of Goldstadt. Only my assistant is here to help me with my experiments.
Oh, his experiments?
Yes, that's what frightens me. The very day we announced our engagement, he told me of his experiments. He said he was on the verge of a discovery so terrific that he doubted his own sanity. There was a strange look in his eyes, some mystery. His words carried me right away. Of course, I've never doubted him, but still I worry. I can't help it. Now this letter. Oh, this uncertainty can't go on. I must know. Victor, have you seen him?
Sitting down.
Yes. About 3 weeks ago, I met him walking alone in the woods. He spoke to me of his work, too. I asked him if I might visit his laboratory. He just glared at me and said he'd let no one go there. His manner was very strange.
Oh, what can we do?
Standing up.
Oh, I should be ill.
Now, don't worry. I'll go to Dr. Bartman, Henry's old professor in medical school. Perhaps he can tell me more about all this.
Victor, you're a dear.
You know I'd go to the ends of the earth for you.
I shouldn't like that. I'm far too fond of you.
I wish you were.
She turns away from him.
Victor.
I'm sorry.
They go to the door.
Good night, Victor, and thank you.
Shaking his hand.
Thank you.
Good night. And don't worry. Promise?
I won't.
He walks off. She goes out after him.
Victor.
What is it?
I'm coming with you.
But Elizabeth, you can't do that.
I must. I'll be ready in a minute.
In Dr. Waldman's office. A row of test tubes on his desk. A row of skulls on his bookshelf.
Herr Frankenstein is a most brilliant young man. Yet so erratic. He troubles me.
I'm worried about Henry. Why has he left the university? He was doing so well. And he seemed so happy with his work.
Well, you know, his research is in the field of chemical galvanism and electrobiology. We're far in advance of our theories here at the university. In fact, they had reached a most advanced stage. They were becoming dangerous. Herr Frankenstein is greatly changed.
You mean changed as a result of his work?
Yes, his work. His insane ambition to create life.
How? How? Please tell us everything, whatever it is.
The bodies we use in our dissecting room for lecture purposes were not perfect enough for his experiments, he said. He wished us to supply him with other bodies, and we were not to be too particular as to where and how we got them. I told him that his demands were unreasonable, and so he left the university to work unhampered. He found what he needed elsewhere.
Oh, the bodies of animals. Well, what are the lives of a few rabbits and dogs?
Smiling.
You do not quite get what I mean.
Leaning towards Victor.
Herr Frankenstein was interested only in human life. First to destroy it, then recreate it. There you have his mad dream.
Elizabeth glances at Victor, then at Dr. Waldman.
Can we go to him?
You will not be very welcome.
Oh, what does that matter? I must see him. Dr. Waldman, you have influence with Henry. Won't you come with us?
I'm sorry, but Herr Frankenstein is no longer my pupil.
But he respects you. Won't you help us to take him away?
Very well, Fräulein. I warn you. But if you wish it, I will go.
The tall stone watchtower is perched atop a rocky pinnacle. A man stands on the roof alongside an electrical apparatus. Inside the laboratory, a network of wires, gauges, dials, and globes. A tower of steel rings ascends to a skylight. Henry walks around an operating table. He looks up at the skylight.
Fitz!
Hello.
Have you finished making those connections?
Yes, they're done.
Well, come down here. Help these attachments we've lots to do.
Henry stirs a beaker. Pours it into a flask. Fritz lowers a rope from the skylight. Slides down the rope. Henry guides him down to the floor.
Look out.
Fool. If this storm develops as I hope, you will have plenty to be afraid of before the night's over. Go on, fix the electrodes.
Fritz walks over to the operating table. Meanwhile, Henry puts on headphones.
This storm will be magnificent.
Looking up.
All the electrical secrets of heaven. And this time we're ready. Hey, Fritz. Ready.
Fritz kneels on the floor and smiles broadly. Fritz points at the operating table.
Why, what's the matter? Look!
Henry steps over.
There's nothing to fear.
Examining the blackened arm.
No blood, no decay. Just a few stitches.
Going over to the head.
And look. Here's the final touch.
Removing the cover from the face, revealing a cloth with stitches and safety pins.
The brain you stole, Fritz.
Yes.
Think of it. The brain of a dead man. Waiting to live again in a body I made with my own hands.
Holding up his hands.
My own hands.
And gazing at them.
Let's have one final test. Throw the switches.
Henry slowly drapes the cover back upon the head. Sparks fly from a metal helix. A current zigzags across a glass bulb. The electrical panel on the wall erupts in sparks. Henry watches the apparatus over the operating table.
In 15 minutes, the storm should be at its height.
Looking up.
Then we'll be ready. What's that?
Fritz scurries up a short flight of stairs.
There's someone there. Quiet.
Henry follows up the stairs and grabs Fritz by the waist.
Send them away. Nobody must come here.
Leading Fritz back down the stairs.
Here. Cover this.
They run across the lab. To a stairway leading down.
Whoever it is, don't get them in. Leave them to me.
Fritz nods his head and descends a long stone staircase.
All times for anybody to come. Now.
Fritz, carrying a lantern, reaches a dark, cavernous space.
Not much. I'll show messing about it this time of night. Got too much to do. Wait a minute.
He reaches up and opens a panel on a small window.
It's Dr. Waldman, Fritz. You can't see him. Go away.
Slamming the panel shut and returning to the stairs. Fritz puts down the lantern and pauses to adjust his sock, then proceeds up the stairs. Outside, under umbrellas, stand the three visitors.
Henry! Frankenstein!
Open the door!
From above.
Who is it? What do you want? You must leave me alone now.
It's Elizabeth! Open the door!
Henry and Fritz rush down the stone stairs.
Henry!
What do you want?
Open the door!
Let us in!
You must leave me alone!
Henry, at least give us shelter!
Henry opens the door, with Fritz standing behind.
All this nonsense of locked doors.
Henry!
Elizabeth, please, won't you go away? Won't you trust me just for tonight?
Oh, you're ill. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm quite all right. Truly, I am. Oh, can't you see? I mustn't be disturbed. You'll ruin everything. My experiment is almost completed.
Wait a moment. I understand. I believe in you. But I cannot leave you tonight.
You can't believe.
Henry, you're inhuman. You're crazy.
Crazy, am I? We'll see whether I'm crazy or not.
He glances over at Elizabeth. Then back at Victor.
Come on up.
They all go up the long stone staircase. Henry reaches the top of the stairs. Followed by the others.
You quite sure you want to come in?
Dr. Waldman nods his head, as does Victor. And Elizabeth slowly nods.
Very well.
They step slowly into the laboratory. Fritz scurries across the room. Henry locks the door.
Forgive me, but I'm forced to take unusual precautions.
Putting the key in his pocket.
Sit down, please.
To Victor.
Sit down.
They stare at each other. Victor sits.
You too, Elizabeth. Please.
She complies.
A moment ago, you said I was crazy. Tomorrow we'll see about that.
Don't touch that!
Fritz dashes across to the operating table where Dr. Waldman is standing. Henry follows.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but I insist.
Dr. Waldman steps away from the experiment. They return to Elizabeth and Victor.
Please.
Pointing at a chair, Dr. Waldman sits down.
Dr. Waldman, I learned a great deal from you at the university about the violet ray, the ultraviolet ray, which you said was the highest color in the spectrum. You were wrong. Here in this machinery, I have gone beyond that.
Leaning toward him.
I have discovered the great ray that first brought life into the world.
Oh, and your proof?
Tonight you shall have your proof. At first I experimented only with dead animals, and then a human heart, which I kept beating for 3 weeks. But now, I am going to turn that ray on that body and endow it with life.
And you really believe that you can bring life to the dead?
That body is not dead. It has never lived. I created it. I made it with my own hands from the bodies I took from graves, from the gallows, anywhere. Go and see for yourself.
Dr. Waldman gets up and heads toward the experiment. Elizabeth and Victor follow. Waldman slowly lifts the cover off the body.
Yeah. Hey.
Now lowers it and steps away. Henry stands with his back against the table.
Quite a good scene, isn't it?
And his arms spread wide.
One man crazy. Three very sane spectators.
Beating his hand against his chest. They all look up. Henry rushes to the wall and rotates a large wheel. Now he dashes back to the experiment. Henry and Fritz examine an electrical apparatus. Henry pushes Fritz aside, goes to the head of the body, and rolls down a blanket. Then, from the feet, he pulls back a sheet. Next, he unwraps the head, still bandaged. The three guests look on in silence. Sparks fly behind the table. The table starts to rise on a metal frame towards the ceiling. And out the skylight. Henry, standing at the foot of the vertical track, looks up. As does Fritz. Elizabeth leans over onto Victor's shoulder. Waldman flinches. Lightning flashes continue. Sparks fly from electrodes, transformers, and dynamos. Currents flash in glass bulbs. Now, the platform starts to descend. It reaches the floor. Henry rounds the corner to the right side of the body. The right hand twitches.
Look, it's moving. It's alive.
The arm slowly rises.
It's moving. It's alive. It's alive.
Smiling.
It's alive.
And spinning around to face away from the body.
In the name of God, now I know what it feels like to be God.
Victor and Waldman rush over and try to restrain him. Later, Victor, Elizabeth, and Baron Frankenstein sit on a couch.
Henry is well, but he's very busy. He said he would get in touch with you soon.
Don't worry about him, Baron. He'll be home in a few days.
You two have it all arranged, haven't you? You think I'm an idiot, don't you? But I'm not.
Standing up.
Anyone can see with half an eye there's something wrong. And I've two eyes, pretty good ones at that. Well, what is it?
You're quite mistaken, Baron.
What's the matter with my son? What's he doing?
He's completing his experiments, that's all.
Why does he go missing round an old ruined windmill when he has a decent house, a bath, good food and drink, and a darn pretty girl to come back to? Will you tell me that?
Baron, you don't understand.
I understand perfectly well. There's another woman, and you're afraid to tell me. Pretty sort of experiments these must be.
Oh, but you're wrong.
How do you know?
The maid steps in.
If you please, Herr Baron, the Burgomaster.
Well, tell him to go away.
But he says it's important.
Nothing the Burgomaster can say can be of the slightest importance.
And he arrives.
Good day, Herr Baron. Fräulein?
Bowing.
Well, what do you want? If it's trouble, go away. I've trouble enough.
Oh, there's no trouble, sir.
What do you mean, no trouble? There's nothing but trouble.
I brought you these flowers.
To Elizabeth.
Thank you, Herr Vogel.
Both in my private and official capacities as Burgomaster. Yes, we know all about that. But what do you want? Well, what I really want to know is, when will the wedding be, if you please?
Miss Henry comes to his senses, there'll be no wedding at all.
But, Herr Baron, the village is already prepared.
Well, tell him to unprepare.
Oh, but such a lovely bride. Such a fine young man, the very image of his father.
Heaven forbid.
But, sir, everything is ready.
I know that. Don't keep on saying so, you idiot.
Standing up.
There's nothing to cry about.
Good day, Mrs. Elizabeth. Good day, Herr Moritz.
Walking off.
Good day, Herr Vogel.
Who turns back and bows.
Good day, Herr Baron.
Then walks out.
And good riddance to you. There you are. You see how it is. The whole village is kept waiting. The bride is kept waiting. And I...
Beating his fists.
Kept waiting.
On his chest.
Henry must come home if I have to fetch him myself.
No, Baron.
What do you mean, no?
What about his work?
Stuff and nonsense. What about his wedding? There is another woman. And I'm going to find her.
Going out the door. Meanwhile, in the laboratory, Henry sits at a dining table and smokes a cigar. Waldman paces back and forth.
Oh, come and sit down, Doctor.
Waldman approaches.
You must be patient. Do you expect perfection at once?
This creature of yours should be kept under guard. Mark my words. He will prove dangerous.
Sitting down.
Dangerous.
Shaking his head.
Poor old Bauman.
He rests his chin on his upturned palm.
Have you never wanted to do anything that was dangerous? Where should we be if nobody tried to find out what lies beyond? You never wanted to look beyond the clouds and the stars, or to know what causes the trees to bud, and what changes the darkness into light? But if you talk like that, people call you crazy. Well, if I could discover just one of these things, what eternity is, for example, I wouldn't care if they did think I was crazy.
You're young, my friend. Your success has intoxicated you. Wake up and look facts in the face. Here we have a fiend whose brain
must be given time to develop. It's a perfectly good brain, Doctor. Well, you ought to know. It came from your own laboratory.
The brain that was stolen from my laboratory was a criminal brain.
Henry lowers his cigar, frowns, looks away from Waldman, and shrugs.
Oh, well, after all, it's only a piece of dead tissue.
Only evil can come of it. Your health will be ruined if you persist in this madness.
I'm astonishingly sane, Doctor.
Leaning forward.
You have created a monster and it will destroy you.
Patience, patience. I believe in this monster, as you call it. And if you don't, well, you must leave me alone.
Leaning back.
But think of Elizabeth, your father.
Elizabeth believes in me. My father never believes in anyone. I've got to experiment further. He's only a few days old, remember. So far, he's been kept in complete darkness. Wait till I bring him into the light.
He looks to the side. Then at Waldman.
Here he comes. Let's turn out the light.
He stands up and turns off the light above the dining table. They step away from the table. The door opens, revealing a tall, dark silhouette, which now backs into the dining room, lurching from side to side, his flattened head just barely clearing the doorway. Metal electrodes protrude from either side of his neck. He turns around, his sunken eyes now facing toward Henry and Waldman. Henry steps toward him.
Come in.
Motioning with his arm.
Come in.
The monster leans forward and takes hesitant steps. Henry backs away, and the monster continues his steps, his shadow several feet even taller than he. He reaches a wooden armchair. Henry circles behind him and motions downward.
Sit down.
Repeating the motion.
Sit down.
The monster leans back. Henry turns toward Waldman.
You see, it understands. Watch.
Henry goes over to a wheel, attached to chains hanging from the ceiling. Rotates the wheel, opening the skylight. Illuminating the monster, who turns his head to the right. Then, upward. He slowly arises from the chair, steps away from the wall, raises both arms.
Take care, Frankenstein, take care.
And spreads his fingers, pointing up, straining his arms to reach upward.
Shut out the light.
The hands now twitching sideways. Now he lowers his hands. As Henry approaches, the hands extend toward him.
Sit down.
Motioning.
Go and sit down.
The monster steps back. And he drops into the chair. He motions with upturned palms.
It understands this time. It's wonderful.
Frankenstein, Frankenstein, where is it? Where is it?
Fritz rushes in, brandishing a flaming torch. Henry rushes over and pulls Fritz back.
Get away with that torch!
Fritz charges toward the monster. Henry tries to restrain it from the fire. Waldman tries to intercede. Fritz again wields the torch. Henry pushes the monster against the wall. Waldman strikes the monster in the back and tackles him to the floor.
Catch the rope, quick!
Fritz runs off and returns with the rope.
Get him to the cellar.
Shoot it! It's a monster!
Later, the monster is shackled to the wall and his arms are chained together. He stretches his arms and pulls to the right and to the left. Now he spins around and pulls away from the wall, heaving left and right.
Quiet! Quiet!
Fritz rushes in, cracks a whip.
Up ahead, you will have the whole countryside on us. That trouble way he has to spin the kid.
The monster follows after Fritz.
Oh, hey. Give me that.
Kicking the whip.
Oh, come away, Fritz. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
walking off and out the door. Fritz picks up the torch and waves it towards the monster. The monster falls to the floor, recoils at the approaching flame, and thrashes on the floor. The monster stands up. Again, Fritz wields the torch. Again, the monster falls down. Meanwhile, in the laboratory, Henry sits and reads a book. Henry springs up.
What's that?
He heads for the door, and Waldman follows. He opens the door and turns toward Waldman. He dashes out the door and down the stairs.
Come on, Doctor. Quick, hurry.
They reach the door to the dungeon. They enter. Henry approaches the monster, who is standing up, no longer chained. Henry and Waldman back away. The monster continues. Henry backs out the doorway. The monster pushes through. But Henry manages to shut the door and slide the bolt. Henry stumbles across toward the stairs.
He hated Fritz. Fritz always tormented him.
He collapses onto the stone stairs. Waldman sits beside him.
Come, pull yourself together.
Well, what can we do?
Kill it, as you would any savage animal. We must overpower him first. Get me a hypodermic needle.
It's murder.
It's our only chance. In a few minutes, he'll be through that door. Come, quick, hurry.
Henry stumbles up the stairs. The monster pounds on the door. Henry comes back down the stairs, holding a torch, and hands the syringe to Waldman.
Got it? Yes, there it is. It's very strong. Half-grain solution.
Good. Now then.
They go to the door.
Now you stand there. When he goes toward you, I will make the injection in his back. Ready?
Yes.
Waldman unbolts the door and steps back. The monster pushes the door open. Lurches from side to side. Henry advances with the torch, and the monster backs off. Now the monster starts forward, then lunges toward Henry. Waldman hits the monster from behind and presses the needle. The monster spins around toward Waldman and pushes him to the floor. Henry goes for the monster's back with the torch. The monster wrests the torch away from him and flings it to the floor. Henry and the monster grapple with each other. The monster loosens his grasp on Henry and freezes. Falls backwards to the floor alongside Henry. Henry goes over to Waldman, who is lying face down on the floor. Shakes Waldman's back.
Dr. Waldman! Are you hurt?
No, I'm all right. It's nothing.
Getting up.
See who's at the door.
Henry, torch in hand, goes to the door. Victor enters.
What's happening here? Elizabeth and your father are coming up the hill to see you.
You must keep it out.
Too late.
They must not see that. Here, quick. Yes. Give me a hand. Quick.
The three men grab a hold of the monster and slide it along the floor back into the dungeon.
Henry, you better hurry upstairs and get that blood off your face before your father and Elizabeth get here.
Henry goes out, followed by Victor. Elizabeth and the Baron arrive.
Well, pretty sort of place for my son to be in, I must say. Is that the front door?
Yes, this is it.
Well, I don't like it, but here goes. There doesn't seem to be anybody in the place.
Rasping the door with his cane. Victor opens the door.
What a forsaken place here. You're trying to burn it down, eh? What's that for?
Pointing to the lit torch.
What's the matter with you? You look as if you've been kicked by a horse. Where's Henry?
Right.
Well?
He can't be disturbed just now.
Oh, can't he? I'll soon settle that nonsense.
Victor, where is he?
This place seems to drive everybody crazy. Oh, heavens, what? What's that?
Waldman arrives.
I beg your pardon. I am Dr. Waldman.
Oh, are you? I'm Baron Frankenstein. Perhaps you know what all this tommy rot's about. I'm shot if I do.
I would advise you to take Henry away from here at once.
Well, what do you suppose I'm here for? Pleasure? What? Nah. Here, where are you, my dear? Oh, there you are. Let's go and see what's up the awful stair. I don't know how the deuce I'm going to get out of it.
Waldman takes Victor aside.
You want to be good.
Leave them alone.
Elizabeth and the Baron go up. Elizabeth reaches the door to the laboratory.
Come in.
The door opens.
Henry.
Elizabeth.
Henry falls to the floor.
Henry.
The Baron enters.
Victor! Dr. Waldman, come quickly!
Man.
My dear, what have they done to you?
It's all my fault.
Get him on the sofa.
Get him.
They set him down on the medical bed. Henry's arm slumps off the side.
Oh, boy. Have you got any more brandy?
Waldman pours a glass.
Quick.
And brings it around to the bed.
Then I'll do that.
Taking the glass.
My boy, now drink. Drink this. There, that's better. I'm going to take you home with me, Henry.
No, I can't. My work. What will happen to the records of my experiment?
We will preserve them.
And then...
I will see that it is painlessly destroyed.
No.
Yes, leave it all to me.
Elizabeth strokes his head.
Oh, my fault.
There, Henry, you can't do any more now. You must come home until you get well again. You'll soon feel better when you get out of here.
Later. The monster lies on the medical bed with his right arm dangling off the side. Waldman examines him. He goes over to the desk and writes an entry in a notebook, which reads, "Note increased resistance, necessitating stronger and more frequent injections. However, will perform dissection at once." He scrawls his signature. The monster blinks his eyes. Waldman rolls over a cart with surgical tools. He gathers a number of scalpels. Goes over and places a cloth on the bed next to the monster's shoulder and arranges the scalpels on the cloth. He takes a look at the monster's head. Leans over to listen to the monster's heart. As the monster opens his eyes, and raises his hand over Waldman's back. Then on Waldman's neck. The monster sits up, now with both hands around Waldman's neck, and wrestles away from him. Later, the monster briskly descends the stone stairs, looks back and forth, spots the doorway to the dungeon, steps back from it, again looks back and forth, then heads for the front door, and goes out. Elsewhere, Elizabeth and Henry sit on a patio, accompanied by a pair of sleeping dogs. She lights his cigarette.
It's like heaven being with you again.
Heaven wasn't so far away all the time, you know.
I know. But I didn't realize it. My work. Those horrible days and nights. I couldn't think of anything else.
Henry, you're not to think of those things anymore. You promised.
All right. Let's think about us. When will our wedding be?
She smiles.
Let's make it soon.
As soon as you like.
They kiss. Later, a glass dome is lifted from an oval miniature portrait of Elizabeth and Henry.
For three generations, these orange blossoms have been worn at our weddings.
Your great-grandfather wore this, Henry.
Placing the flower in Henry's lapel.
Looks as good as new now. And here's one to make the best man look still better.
Victor places it.
30 years ago.
In his own lapel.
I placed this on your mother's head, Henry.
Holding up a small wreath.
Today you will make me very happy by doing the same for Elizabeth. And I hope in 30 years' time, a youngster of yours will be carrying on the tradition. Now, how about a little drink, eh?
A butler carries in a tray of glasses.
My grandfather bought this wine and laid it down.
Handing the bottle to Henry.
My grandmother wouldn't let him drink it. Oh, bless her heart. Yes, to a very good health. Well, you all full? Yes, come along. Here's a health to a son of the House of Frankenstein.
Henry smiles meekly and looks down.
Here's a jolly good health to young Frankenstein.
To the butler.
Give the servant some champagne. This stuff's wasted on him.
Who proceeds to carry a tray to a row of four maids.
Go on, mop it up. It'll do you good.
House of Frankenstein.
They sip from their glasses.
Now then, now be off about your business.
And return the glasses to the tray. The butler and the maids walk out. The guests file out of the opulent, festively decorated living room and go outside. A throng of townspeople parade by and wave their hats in the air. Still inside, Henry, the Baron, and a few guests.
It's extraordinary how friendly you can make a lot of people on a couple of bottles of beer. Tomorrow they'll all be fighting.
No doubt.
They're calling for you, Baron.
Hey-ho. Well, I suppose I better show myself.
Make a little talk.
The Baron heads out and surveys the crowd from a balcony.
Thank you all very much indeed. I'm very pleased to see you all, and I hope there's plenty of beer. At all events, there's lots more where that came from.
They raise their hats and wave them in the air. There's dancing in the street. A dozen townspeople form a circle. Little by little, the circle grows larger. Meanwhile, the monster wanders in the woods. A man saws wood in front of a modest lakefront house.
You stay here, Maria. I'll just take a look at my traps. Now we'll go to the village and have a grand time, huh?
Maria, a small girl, holds a cat.
Won't be long, Daddy.
Oh, no. Hans goes by, tell him I'll be back soon.
Daddy, won't you stay and play with me a little while?
I'm too busy, darling. You stay and play with the kitty, huh?
Bye, Daddy.
Goodbye. Be a good girl now.
Ludwig heads off.
Come on, kitty.
She walks down to the lake shore. Puts the cat on the ground. The monster pushes his way through the bushes and spots Maria, who is picking daisies. She turns to look at him. The monster lumbers slowly toward her. She stands up. She walks toward him.
Who are you? I'm Maria.
Smiling.
Will you play with me?
Taking his hand. Hand in hand, they walk together towards the shore. She holds up a flower and smells it.
Would you like one of my flowers?
Holding it towards him. He takes the flower, holds it up, smells it, and smiles. Huh. She kneels by the lake, as does he. They face each other. She picks some more flowers and offers half of them to him.
You have?
He takes a hold of her hand and looks at it.
I can make a boat.
Tossing a few flowers into the water. He tosses in some of his flowers and smiles. She adds one more, and then so does he. He holds his empty hands up in front of him. He nods his head. He puts his arms around Maria, picks her up.
No!
He stands up and tosses her into the water. He leans forward, stands up, runs away from the shore, crawls on the ground, heads toward the woods, scrapes his hand on a tree, wipes it, and continues to run. Meanwhile, dancing in the street continues apace. Lederhosen-clad men hop from leg to leg and slap their knees. Now, they pair off with women and twirl away. A fiddler, accordionist, and guitar player at a picnic table. Indoors, Elizabeth enters the living room in her bridal gown.
Henry.
Elizabeth. Oh, how lovely you look. But you shouldn't be here.
I must see you for a minute.
They walk into the entrance hall, and then into a bedroom.
And what's the matter?
Where the maids of honor are gathered.
Could you leave us for a moment?
Why, of course.
As they go out, they turn their heads and scowl. Henry closes the door.
Why, what is it?
I'm so glad you're safe.
Safe? Of course I'm safe. But you look worried. Is anything wrong?
No. No, forget my foolishness. It was just a mood. There's nothing the matter.
Of course there isn't.
Henry, I'm afraid. Terribly afraid. Where's Dr. Valdman? Why is he late for the wedding?
He's always late. He'll be here soon.
Something is going to happen. I feel it. I can't get it out of my mind.
You're just nervous. All the excitement and preparation.
No, no. It isn't that. I felt it all day. Something is coming between us. I know it. I know it.
Oh, sit down and rest. You look so tired.
She sits down.
I could just do something to save us from it.
From what, dear? From what?
They stand up.
I don't know. I could just get it out of my mind. Oh, I'd die if I had to lose you now, Henry.
Lose me? Why, I'll always be with you.
Will you, Henry? Are you sure? I love you so.
Sure. How beautiful you look.
What's that?
Victor opens the door.
Henry! Dr. Valdman!
What about Dr. Valdman?
Henry, don't leave me! Don't leave me!
He goes out.
You stay here.
And locks the door.
Henry! Henry!
Dr. Valdman's been murdered in the tower.
The monster.
He's been seen in the hills terrorizing the mountainside.
He's in the house. He's upstairs.
Henry runs across the entrance hall and up the stairs. The maids of honor follow to the foot of the stairs and watch. Upstairs, Henry looks in a room to the right, Victor to the left. They return to the hall and look in the next room. Henry knocks over a small table. Back to the hall, into another room.
It's in the cellars.
They head back downstairs. Meanwhile, Elizabeth holds a bouquet and paces across the room. Through the window, the monster is visible. He opens the window and climbs inside. Elizabeth stands, still facing away from the window. She sits down. He slowly steps away from the window. She runs her fingers through her hair. He leans forward, holding up both hands as he approaches. She gets up and walks toward the door, her bridal train trailing across half the room. She turns around. She steps back, then runs. He slowly lumbers forward. In the cellar, Henry looks up.
Elizabeth!
He runs up the stairs. Meanwhile, people run down from the second floor. The maids of honor gather at the door, which is still locked. The monster, seen through the window, escapes, leaving the room in wreckage. Henry enters. The crowd gathers round. Elizabeth lies in bed.
Don't let him come here.
Henry, behind the bed, cradles her head in his hands. Meanwhile, outside, the limp body of Maria, carried by her father, Ludwig, through the still ongoing street festival. As he walks, people turn and watch. They get up from their tables. They stop dancing and follow Ludwig. The gathering procession passes under an archway. People look down from windows. Led by constables, the crowd reaches the town hall. The constables hold the crowd back at the entrance. The burgomaster steps out and addresses the crowd.
Silence! Silence! Silence!
What is it? What is it?
Maria, she's drowned.
My poor man, why do you bring her here to me?
But she's been murdered.
Yes! I see the justice is done. Who is it?
Meanwhile, in the Frankenstein residence, Henry steps into the entrance hall and Victor approaches him.
How is Elizabeth now?
I don't know. She's still in a daze. Just looks at me and says nothing.
It's maddening. Easy, old man. She'll be all right.
Our wedding day.
Steady. The wedding will only be postponed a day at most.
A day? I wonder.
What do you mean?
There can be no wedding while this horrible creation of mine is still alive. I made him with these hands, and with these hands I'll destroy him. I must find him.
Start him.
I'll go with you.
No. You stay here and look after Elizabeth. I leave her in your care, whatever happens. You understand? In your care.
Heading out. Meanwhile, at the town hall. Holding his hand aloft.
You will search the woods. Those are your group. Herr Frankenstein, you will take to the mountains. Those are your people. I will lead the third group by the lake.
Pointing to the mob, sweeping from left to right.
Remember, get him alive if you can, but get him.
Punching his fist in the air.
Search every ravine, every crevice. But the fiend must be found. Are you ready? Light your torches and go.
The street, now swirling with lit torches. Women and children gather on the side as the mob masses in the street. Women open windows and look out in horror. The mob leaves the village, passing under an archway. Henry, Ludwig, and the burgomaster lead their respective contingents. Night falls, and the mob is a galaxy of torchlights and lanterns.
Halt! Frankenstein Mountains! The river! Gate party! This way!
Come on, man! The contingents separate. At the lake, some of the townspeople take to rowboats. Another contingent searches the hills.
Come on, boys. Keep together. You search there. The rest come with me.
They rush through rugged terrain between and over immense rock formations. Beside a large boulder stands the monster, with both his hands raised above his head. A man holds in his right hand a leash for two bloodhounds. With his left hand, he motions for others to follow him. Henry reaches a man lying on the ground. He rushes back to alert the others. They kneel beside the fallen man.
Which way did he go? Tell me.
The man raises a limp hand to point.
You stay here and take care of him. The rest follow me. Come on. Come on, quick.
The chase continues. The monster crouches behind a large rock. Henry climbs up a steep rock face.
Where's Frankenstein? Now, Frankenstein, where are you? I think he's up there. Come on, follow him. Quick!
From his hiding place, the monster spots Henry. He watches as Henry walks past. The monster stands up.
Hello!
Henry turns to see him. But a few feet away. He backs up against a rock face. They stare at each other silently. The monster starts slowly towards Henry. Henry backs up and wields his torch, but the monster knocks it down. They grapple.
Listen,
says Ludwig.
This Frankenstein. That way!
The mob surges toward Henry. The monster heaves Henry to the ground. Henry gets up. He rushes toward the monster and grabs a hold of him, but falls again. The monster steps over and straddles him. Henry's chin is bloodied. The monster picks him up by the shoulders. The mob reaches a nearby gap. The monster drags Henry, then carries him on his shoulder. The burgomaster spots the monster on a high ridge. The men chase behind. They reach a windmill. The monster carries Henry inside it and shuts the door behind him. A wooden beam falls behind the door. The torch-bearing mob gathers around the windmill. Inside, the monster carries Henry up a ladder. They reach a landing. The mob prods the door with a large log, but the door does not yield. The monster carries Henry up a second ladder, reaching the highest platform where the windmill mechanism turns. The monster drops Henry on the floor, looks around the platform, looks out the window. The log continues to ram against the door. Henry raises his head. He crawls along the floor. The monster turns around. Henry gets up. The monster takes a swing at him. Henry tries to hide on the far side of the windmill's spindle. They view each other through the slats of the spinning mechanism. Henry dashes out to an outdoor platform, jumps over the railing, but the monster grabs him. Below, the burgomaster spots him. The monster pulls Henry back onto the platform. The monster holds Henry in his grasp and heaves him over the railing. He lands on the windmill's blade, which stops and spins backward. Henry plummets to the ground. The mob gathers around.
Frankenstein! Frankenstein!
From up above, the monster looks down at the scene.
Bring him down to the village and let's take him home.
Several men lift Henry and carry him away. The monster waves his hands back and forth. The mob take their torches to the windmill and set it on fire. Again, the monster waves his hands. The flames reach the interior and speed upward. Flames reach the platform where the monster now darts back and forth. From the outdoor platform, the monster looks back at the blazing structure and beats his hands upon the railing. He runs inside. The stairs leading down are ablaze. He tries to climb onto the spinning mechanism, then jumps off, but falls to the floor. A beam falls and traps him beneath. He is beset by fire. The windmill blades, now on fire, continue to turn. A couple dozen torchbearers maintain their vigil on the ground. At the Frankenstein residence, a maid descends the stairs and is joined by the maids of honor, one of whom carries a tray with a wine bottle. They walk across the entrance hall towards the bedroom.
Well, go ahead and knock.
The door opens. Inside, Henry lies in bed. The Baron comes to the door.
Well, 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 what's all this? What do you want, eh? What's this?
If you please, Herr Baron, we thought that Mr. Henry could do with a glass of his great-grandmother's wine.
Fine old lady, my grandmother. Very foreseeing of her.
He pours a glass.
Prevent my grandfather drinking this.
He goes in, but then steps out of the room and closes the door.
Mr. Henry doesn't need this. Well, as I said before, I say again, here's to a son to the house of Frankenstein.
He takes a sip. Words appear. The end. It's a Universal picture. A good cast is worth repeating. Colin Clive as Henry Frankenstein. May Clark as Elizabeth. John Bowles as Victor Moritz. Boris Karloff as the monster. Edward Van Sloan as Dr. Waldman. Frederick Carr as Baron Frankenstein. Dwight Fry as Fritz. Iono Belmore as the Burgomaster. Marilyn Harris as Little Maria. Audio description by Lou Lasher.